Hello, this is Pastor Marv Nelson, and I'll be standing in for Pastor Rock this week as we continue our journey through 91 weeks with the Holy Spirit. The beauty of Scripture is that the triune God is present on every page in every passage. The Holy Spirit can be detected or foreshadowed in every passage, if for no other reason than He is the one who directed and whispered the Word into every writer of the Scriptures. As we look at this week's set of passages, we will seek to uncover the gems that are in these passages, the gems of the Holy Spirit. This week, we will finish looking at the life of Isaac, continue the journey of Jacob's life, as well as start the life of Joseph together in Genesis 33 through 43. We will also look at Psalm 20, 46, 75, and 76. The question this week we'll seek to answer is, how does the Spirit of the Lord desire to interact with us today? I want us to first dive headfirst into the Psalms that you'll read on day two of this week. In Psalm 46, verses 7 and 11, we see this phrase, "The Lord of hosts is with us." The word "with" in this passage can mean in or among. So in other words, God is present among us, or His presence is in us. At this point in time, because Christ had not yet died and rose again, the Spirit could only inhabit or dwell within one person at a time. However, because of the choice of the specific word "with," this is not simply an explanation of the presence of God among the people at that time, but could also be a foreshadowing of the Spirit who will dwell within. Last week, we looked at the concept of dwelling. In the concept of dwelling last week, we saw that when the voice of the Lord came to Isaac, he stopped what he was doing and pitched his tent in that place because he didn't want to leave the place where God had met him. He desired deeper fellowship with the Lord, and so he purposed to dwell there longer than he originally anticipated. The beauty of this concept of dwelling is that God desired and desires this communion with us, his children, as well. Dwelling is not just for us to dwell among Him, but dwelling is also for Him to dwell among and in us. In the fall, we saw how we lost fellowship with the Lord. We lost the ability to walk with Him in the garden, hand in hand, arm in arm, side by side. Yet, He created us for the purpose of fellowship with Himself. When we lost this close proximity of fellowship, the Lord longed to reunite with the people He made in His image. It is directly after the fall that He makes the promise and gave the imagery to this future reunion in fellowship with Him. The answer to the problem of this separation is the indwelling Holy Spirit. Christ's death and resurrection purified us from our unrighteousness and made us righteous so that He could reunite with us by setting up camp within us. Due to the fall, He had to depart from us because of our sin. He made a way to cover our sin with the blood of Christ, so our sin was no longer a hindrance to fellowship. If you remember a couple weeks back as you read the story, they were filled with shame because of their sin, and they covered themselves with fig leaves. Now, I don't know if you know, fig leaves are not good clothing. And so God killed an animal and gave them the covering of the skins of the animals that He killed. That was a beautiful picture of how Christ covers us with His righteousness. And so, when Christ died and rose again, we had the ability to be covered by Him and reunite with our fellowship with the Lord. Isaac and others longed to dwell where the Lord was because the Lord first longed to dwell with them. We pursue the Lord because He first pursued us. He desires to indwell us and set up camp in our hearts. He desires His Spirit to touch our spirit. This is amazing revelation. I think sometimes we gloss over the power of this concept, that God wants to be with us. He knows our mess. He knows the junk in our lives. He knows our sin. But He still wants to be with us. He longs to be with the people He created in His image. He doesn't simply long to be in us and among us, but He desires that we know Him. We can see this concept of knowing in Psalm 46:10. God spoke to the psalmist, "Be still and know I am the Lord." The word for "know" in this passage can also mean to become known. He's saying, may you know me so you can see that I am the Lord. God desires to reveal himself to us so we can know him, not simply know about him. He doesn't want to simply know about us either. Although he knows all things and already knows us, there is a deeper sense of our feeling known by God when we spend time with him, confessing to him, and revealing ourselves to him as we would our spouse or closest friend. These quick passages in the Psalms reveal a great deal about the Spirit and God's desire to be with us, in us, and to know us. The Spirit dwelling in us reveals to us the heart of God and gives us the ability to know him. Again, in the garden, before sin happened, man and woman were naked before one another and the Lord. It's this sense of deep honesty. Nothing is hidden. Nothing is covered. And God desires for us to come to him spiritually naked again, letting him know us and allowing our sense of knowing to occur in that moment. In this week's journey into the familiar lives of Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, we see God at work, orchestrating the future of the nation of Israel. We see God giving dreams as well as giving the ability to interpret those and other dreams. We see God causing famine to draw Joseph's brothers to Egypt. These happenings are no coincidence, and I fully believe that there are no coincidences with God. He sets up the times and seasons, and we can either follow his lead or reject it. In the lives of these men, we see both responses from all of them. As we noted last week, the Spirit dwells within us not only for the sake of fellowshipping with us, but also for the purpose of guiding us. The Spirit is our guide. He is the one who is to lead us. We are to seek his direction and then choose to follow him. For much of his life, Joseph followed the direction of the Lord. Of course, he messed up the timing of certain revelations and certainly needed to grow in his obedience, but he is a good example of what it looks like to listen and wait upon the Lord. The fact of the matter is, the Lord knows better than we do. He longs for us to obey him because he knows his way is best. He doesn't guide us into certain places for the purpose of messing up our fun. Rather, he leads us down paths that will produce the best result and the best us he knows we can be. Much of this being led by the Spirit goes back to Psalm 46:10, where it states, "Be still." How much busyness do we put in our lives? How much do we purposely avoid the voice of the Lord because we know what he's going to say to us? We think we know best, and we want what we want. But God knows best. He is the creator of all things. He's the wisdom of all wisdom. He's the king of all kings. His way is best. We buck up against this all of the time. But if we were completely honest and we were to humble our pride, we would know that his way is best. And the Spirit leads us to lay down our pride. As we saw 2 weeks ago, the Spirit wants to show us the things that need to be slain, and he slays them if we surrender them to him. But we must be still. We must put our busyness aside. We must allow the voice of our own willfulness to be silent so we can hear the voice of the Lord. We must be still. I took that time to pause because I wanted to make you feel uncomfortable. Because stillness and quiet sometimes frustrate us. In prison, Joseph had a ton of time to be still. Will we choose to also be still? Will we allow our fellowship with God to, by the indwelling Spirit, reveal God to us and thus allow us to see where he is leading? Well, then we, knowing God and his heart, willfully surrender to the paths the Spirit is leading us down. My prayer is that we will, that I will, and that you will.